I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind.
Welcome back, everybody.
Perfume through the air.
I'm feeling a good vibration coming up.
I'm picking up.
Welcome back, everybody. This is 414 Wisconsin on News Talk 1510 AM, WRRD, Wisconsin's Resistance Radio. I'm so excited. It's our one-year anniversary. Oh, we're getting good vibrations here. And we have other things to celebrate here besides our one-year anniversary. We are joined by two very special guests. They are the co-chairs of the Wisconsin Future Caucus. I'm talking about Rep. Amanda Stuck from Appleton, and we got our local guy, Adam Nealon from Pewaukee. How are you doing, guys? What's going on? Welcome to 414 Wisconsin.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
So Amanda's... she's an Appleton. That's local to us.
It's local to
we'll claim that
you are
as local.
Both of your constituents can hear us on 1510 AM.
Yeah, Appleton's not that far away.
Not too far.
Probably throw a rock and hit Appleton from here.
Well, both of us, we are very strong. Very important.
So anyway, welcome both of you. We're glad to have you both on the show.
Thank you, and happy
Thanks
anniversary.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you very much. Now, I want to start off with the, again, your co-chairs of the Wisconsin Future Caucus, but I want to introduce both of you because we haven't had you guys on the show yet. So I'm gonna
let them introduce themselves.
Let them introduce themselves.
Yeah,
Amanda, I'm going to go with Amanda first. Thank you so much. Tell us about yourself. Give us a little bit of, hey, who is Amanda Stuck?
Sure. So I represent the Appleton and Menasha area. I'm in my second term down in the state assembly. A little bit other than just the political side, I'm a big dog lover, so that's something to know about me. If you come to my office in the Capitol, you can get homemade dog treats, so that's for everybody to know.
That's awesome.
Is that euphemistically put? So homemade dog treats as in something you made, or are we talking dog hair and dog other excrement?
Oh, man.
You said homemade.
Yes, my mom actually makes them, and I just put them out in my office in the Capitol.
That's fantastic.
I love homemade dog treats.
That's normally my thing. Now I'm gonna pivot over to Adam Nealon. Give us a little bit of who Adam Nealon is and how you doing.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. I'll start by saying my dog enjoyed the treats very much. So I got
good homemade
dog treats from Amanda the other day, and they're a hit. So thank your mom for me.
I'm
Adam Nealon. I'm a state representative, represent Waukesha County, live in Pewaukee with my wife and daughter of 18 months, and we got number two on the way due in April.
Wow, congratulations. Awesome.
Thank you. And then I'm also in my spare time and my other time outside of the building. I run a commercial window cleaning company that I started in college and kind of built up and continue to manage through the years. So small business owner, and also in my third term in the state assembly, currently the chairman on the committee on jobs and the economy, among several other committees that I serve on.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Now, the reason I brought you on, in the fall, I brought on Stephen Olicara, who's the founder of the Future Caucus, but he was starting the Wisconsin Future Caucus, and you guys are the co-chairs. Could you give us a little bit about what the Wisconsin Future Caucus means and what it is and how you guys are going to be involved with that?
Sure. Well,
Go
ahead, Amanda. You can start it off.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, we really just kicked it off this fall, and so we're really still sorting out what it really means, what it will look like. So we've had our first meeting and kind of got ideas from folks who are part of the caucus in terms of what they want to talk about legislatively, what they want to do outside of legislation in terms of just engaging young folks, because I think part of it is not just legislation, but showing younger people who are really turned off by what they see in terms of, you know, really bad partisanship right now, that there really can be something different. There can be a different model, and we just want them to be involved in shaping what that looks like.
Yeah, and if I could just add, I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, within politics, people talk about left, right, Republican or Democrat, but what we also have seen is that a lot of times it's generational. you know, how we approach politics, what the things people are interested in, whether that's, you know, they're starting a young family or they're looking at buying a home or just working together. You know, I think, you know, as the younger generations come into the political world, I think we have been exposed to things in terms of multiculturalism and the internet and things that we're able to work together and try to find consensus and try to work on things that people can agree on and that we can find common ground on. You know, we're not going to agree all the time, but this is a good opportunity to provide a platform where we can discuss issues, where we can work on things, and where we can do outreach to show people that there is civil discourse. There are people that are normal people that have got involved in politics and want to make a difference.
Now, one of you is a Republican and one of you is a Democrat. We'll get into that a little bit later. I kind of want to keep it a little bit of, I mean, people who know, but I don't want to really bring that to the forefront. I want to talk about things that you guys are both under 40. You're in the state legislature. What do you hear from your constituents, millennials, that are bipartisan things, that resonate with the young folks? I'm saying the young folks,
with your younger constituents. Yeah, with their younger constituents.
What's echoing? What are you hearing from these folks? Let's go with we went with Amanda first last time. Let's go with Adam first this time.
Sure. Well, one of the most rewarding things I've ever worked on, which was brought to my attention by a lot of parents and a lot of people that are really interested in improving education, which it kind of goes to education, but kind of a subtopic is automation and robotics. So we were able to start last session the first ever robotics grant program in the state of Wisconsin that goes directly to schools to help fund for competitive robotics teams. And I will say, like, when people stop me or talk to me in the grocery store or I see somebody at the library, more than anything is people talk about robotics. They talk about the changing economy. They talk about workforce. They talk about automation. And it's something that's, you know, impacting, you know, specifically our generation as we, you know, graduate and try to, you know, develop in the workforce. But it's touching almost every sector, you know, and from robotics, you know, self-driving cars is a big issue that people talk about, drones, you know, science and technology, things that are interesting, exciting, and could have a profound impact on a lot of different segments of Wisconsin.
So Adam, that's fascinating. So we're talking basically the future economy. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about, the future of manufacturing. Are you working with Alec Bradley or some of the Fanuc stuff that's going on in robotics? Who's supporting that from a manufacturing standpoint, a corporate manufacturing standpoint?
Sure. Well, we have – so it's a private-public partnership. So every school that takes advantage of the grant program has to bring in a certain amount of matching dollars. So we're establishing different relationships all over the state with schools that directly go into the classrooms in robotics. Here in my district, we have three robotics teams, Johnson Controls, GE, Quad Graphics, Waukesha Tool, all sorts of companies that have been very involved. And you know, they want to see people develop through automation, through technology. And everybody can kind of recognize that, you know, when you have the future of the workforce is going to need people that are engineers, that are computer programmers, you know, and this is a great way to get people started early, to get interested in STEM. And also, quite frankly, it brings in a very diverse group of people. I mean, in the schools, there's, like I said, a few teams in my district, and I would say almost half of them are female. You know, and it's a great opportunity to get girls involved in STEM, to get people that might not participate in team sports, to get them in a team environment and working together in a fun way. So it's been very rewarding, and I think it's something that really resonates with people through all sectors within my district.
Yeah, I was on a robotics team very briefly in New Hampshire, and I still draw upon that very brief experience as far as process goes, as far as thinking goes, and things like that. It's a very, very thing, very important thing to think about.
And I recruited robotic engineers as well for jobs. So interesting.
That's great.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of things.
And New Hampshire kind of ground zero. You know, first robotics was founded in New Hampshire, Dean Kamen has been, you know, a huge advocate for, I mean, he was one of the founders of one of the largest robotics leagues that we do competitive robotics in Wisconsin. So that's really neat to hear.
Yeah. Now I want to pivot back to Amanda. Amanda, what are things you're hearing and what are initiatives you're talking about as far as young people are concerned?
Yeah. Well, I think certainly I hear a lot, I think you phrased it correctly, the future economy. I hear a lot from young entrepreneurs that don't care if representative is Republican or Democrat. They just want to be able to come here and start businesses and feel like this is a good place to start businesses. Certainly a lot of young professionals want good communities. You know, they want bike trails, they want recreational opportunities. They want a place where diversity is supported because those are the kind of communities they want to live in. And a lot of those issues really are nonpartisan. And we know from a lot of the research, young people really are not identifying either way as Republican or Democrat. They just aren't identifying with parties as much. And it's just not as something they're tied to. They really just care more about what is happening in their community, what their community looks like. And so they want us, from what I hear more than anything, is they want the bickering to stop. They're tired of the partisanship, and they just want us to do better.
That is something that I have been hearing over and over again from everybody I talk to, from left, from right, from old, from young. They are tired of the partisanship. They are tired of the bickering. Sure, there are things that people are diverse on, but you know, the bickering just really degrades everybody.
So I agree with that. I mean, we've heard that several times from several guests. You guys, we got about a minute, but we're going to go on break. We want you to bring you back. But I want to ask a question before we go is, so we do identify that we want people to stop bickering. How do we solve that? What's the solution for that? Because there are people who are entrenched in their camp based on their own life experience and what they know to be true. And they don't want to give that up, right? And the left is just as guilty as the right on that. So when we come back, you guys, think about that for a minute here and love to hear what you have to say on that and lead us out of that. Lead us out of that.
Yeah.
So we'll be back here at 414 Wisconsin, News Talk 1510 AM WRD, Wisconsin's Resistance Radio.
We got some good vibrations. We got Amanda Stuck and Adam Nealon on. We'll talk to them when we come back after the break.
The People for People, People Corporation. We are a registered 501c3, totally legit. What do? We take your uncapped, dark money, tax-deductible donations, private or corporate, always anonymous, and we turn it into free speech. You know, educate Wisconsin through advertising, which may or may not be in coordination with a candidate. Isn't that illegal? It should be, but it's not under Wisconsin law. Thanks, Governor Scott Walker. Politicians in Wisconsin are beholden to the millionaire and billionaire sugar daddy and sugar mamas that finance their campaigns. Time to make them beholden to We the People for People, People Corporation. Give your tax-deductible donation to the real patriots, the People for People, People Corporation, p4ppc.org, p4ppc.org.
Pete's Fruit Market. A family-owned business serving Milwaukee for more than a generation now has a brand new second location at the corner of North Avenue and Martin Luther King Drive in Milwaukee's Bronzeville neighborhood. The new store is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week and always features the freshest fruits and vegetables at the lowest prices. In addition to offering the best produce, Pete's Fruit Market is also a full-line grocery store featuring fresh meats and delicious deli items. Pete's Fruit Market, Milwaukee's best produce.
When you need an attorney, trust the voice of experience, the only choice, Lawton and Cade.
I needed an attorney because I was injured at work. I wanted to find a reputable attorney. The results that I got with Lawton and Cade were very good. I'm very happy with the way I was treated and the end result that I got.
Trust the voice of experience. Call the attorneys at Lawton and Cade, 282-6200, 282-6200.
Hi, I'm Crudy. I'm here with Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Local 344. Bill, why are you union? Teamster strong.
Well, Crudy, our strength comes from our membership. The Teamsters are North America's strongest labor union with 1.4 million members.
Bill, what does the Teamsters do for the next generation?
The same thing that the Teamsters have done for the last 100 years, assisting groups of workers in negotiating improvements in their wages, hours, and working conditions.
Where do people go if they want to know more about the Teamsters, more about joining the union?
There's three easy options. They can call Local 344 at 414-258-4545. They can contact us through our website. That's local344.org. Local, the number is 344.org. Or they can contact us through the Local 344 Facebook page.
Be union strong. Join Teamsters 344. Be like Crudy. Be like News Talk 1510 AM. Stand with the unions. Join the Teamsters. Local 344.org.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
It's 23 minutes after 10 o'clock, sunny and windy today, gusts up to 35 miles per hour, temperatures falling throughout the day, and then mostly clear tonight, lows around zero, sunny and cold tomorrow, highs only around 15. On Saturday, a 50% chance of snow with highs around 30 degrees. Right now it is 10 degrees on Brady Street in Milwaukee with a wind chill of minus 11. Waukesha has 5 degrees with a wind chill of minus 23. And you're listening to 414 Wisconsin right now on WRRD. Today would have been the 70th birthday of Rick James.
Come in. Oh, man.
Mary Jane, man. Gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when this song first came out, I was young enough to not know what Mary Jane was. I didn't get this for 15 years. And then I'm like, wait, he's talking about marijuana.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's Rick James, man. Oh, makes me move. Ah, this is great. This is just a fantastic day. It's a one-year anniversary. It's the beginning of Black History Month. It's just a really exciting
time.
It's
a good day.
And we got Rick James playing. This is very exciting. And also very exciting, we have the co-chairs of the Wisconsin Future Caucus. We have Reps Amanda Stuck and Adam Nealon on the line with us. Welcome back, guys. Thank you so much for continuing to join us here on 414 Wisconsin.
So we were talking before we went to break, you guys, about how can you guys bridge this gap of this partisanship? And then there's these wedge issues, which I don't believe are the same for your generation than they are for ours. So, and I'll just throw them out there real quick. So gender, sexual orientation, race and religion, and there's a whole bunch more. So how do we bridge that, guys? And we'll let Amanda go first.
Sure. I would agree with what you said. I think some of the issues are different when you're talking about younger legislators that they're concerned about or focused on or that divide them. So I do think that's what gives us some opportunity here, what gives me hope about looking at millennial legislators and future legislators, that there's more opportunity to talk. So I think one of the ways we really address where we're at right now is things like this, just starting by simply talking to each other. The way the system is set up right now, we hardly ever see our colleagues on the other side of the aisle outside of being on the floor voting on something. We don't get a lot of opportunity to really sit down and talk and find areas where we agree unless you really are intentional about doing that. So I think this is how we start, just by creating an opportunity to talk to each other. And I also just want to, you know, mention briefly, one of the things I really like about Adam and why I'm so grateful to have him as a co-chair, as a chair of a committee that I sit on in the assembly, you know, many chairs use that position of power to cut off the minority party or not let them really be fully part of the process. But Adam has always really been good about letting the minority member parties ask questions and be a part of the process. And I think that's really important, because even if we don't agree, we can still have fair processes.
Well, man, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I think that kind of goes to the point of what I would make is civil discourse is so important. You know, just being able to talk through things and creating opportunities to talk about things in a way that you might disagree. But too many times in the political process, you know, people use their power or authority to stifle debate, you know, or to just slam things through that they want to see. And when in reality, the more voices you have, usually the better the product will be at the end of the day. Like, we should explore all angles. You know, we should have that discourse and come up with the best product possible. But I think creating those situations where people are able to have civil discourse, you know, and also I think it's important, you know, and I think our generation is a little better at this. But if you hear something and you disagree with it, you know, voice that. You know, stand up for your beliefs in a civil way and say, look, that's not right, or I don't agree with that. Because I think oftentimes people are just living this bubble where they think everybody thinks the same way they do, and they're not forced to think outside of their own experience, you know. And personally, I don't want to live in a world where everybody thinks a lot. You know, everybody has different views and different opinions and has different experiences. So the more we talk about them in a civil way, the more we can ultimately progress as a nation and as a society.
So great points, both of you. Adam, just so you guys know, and this is the way that it used to be. And when I say used to be, I'll go back to before. There were pockets of it definitely throughout history, but I'll say it was consistent that way in the 60s. The 70s got kind of out of whack because of Nixon. But then when Ford and Carter got back into it, and even with President Reagan and Tip O'Neill, there was some back and forth, and things were done in a civil way. Now it's so partisan, the middle has kind of eroded, and we see what we see now.
Yeah, we have aligned ourselves basically on the left. We are we classify ourselves as a progressive station.
Right.
But I constantly bemoan to you all the time, Daryl, that I am begging for a civil discourse with conservatives. We have a lot of conservative callers, and we have some really good discourse coming in here.
Well,
I'm begging for that type of thing, because I don't want to fight against someone. I want to talk with somebody.
It's not just that. I think Adam made the point that, like, even in business, right? So we gather a bunch of people together, and we all want to go a certain direction. And then all of a sudden, we start cutting off other people. It stifles innovation. It stifles growth. It stifles new ideas. And you can't have a collective good for everybody if you're cutting people off. And I think it's that way in business, and it's also that way in politics. So I appreciate what Adam said on that.
Unfortunately, I have to cut you off real quick. We are going
to a hard break. There you go. You just stifled my innovation.
But I know. But when I come back, I want to talk about this song and Mary Jane, a little bit of something. This is an issue that crosses lines both sides.
All over the country.
When we come back on 414 Wisconsin with Rep. Amanda Stuck and Rep. Adam Nealon, we're talking about Wisconsin futures.
Listening to 414 Wisconsin on WRRD. In addition to being our first anniversary, today is the 68th birthday of one of the great guitarists in rock and roll, Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers.
Oh my goodness, everybody. Welcome back. News Talk 1510 AM, WRRD, Wisconsin's Resistance Radio. We are streaming live 24-7 at newstalk1510am.com. That's where you can find all the podcasts from this show. Anything on this station you can find on newstalk1510am.com. You can also join us on Facebook Live at 414 Wisconsin's Facebook page. Hello, everybody.
Don't forget to mention that our ratings are the highest ratings of a radio show ever in the universe.
Honestly, we do have the highest ratings of any station ever anywhere, and that is a fact because I said it.
Yep.
We all know that. Welcome back, Rep. Amanda Stuck and Rep. Adam Nealon, state reps in the Wisconsin Assembly. They are the co-chairs of the Wisconsin Future Caucus. And I mentioned it on the way out, and Stu seems to be begging the question here. One of the big things that seems to reach across lines is marijuana policy, legalization of marijuana. Where do you guys come down on this, and what is it, how does that reflect as far as the Future Caucus goes? I'm going to go with Adam first.
Sure. Well, this is definitely an issue that comes up and tends to be generational in terms of if you look at the polls and just look at the acceptance of marijuana usage, it surprisingly tends to be lower at a younger generation, but more widely accepted.
Huh.
I'm not sure how that works, but, kids today tend to be a little healthier, don't participate in as much of risky behavior, and yet the acceptance of these things is a lot higher. So it's an interesting thing as we move into debate in the Future Caucus on this issue. You know, in terms of Wisconsin specifically, we have taken strides in the past two sessions in a row. We passed CDC oil and then expanded it to make sure that kids and people with seizures and that would need access to a CBD oil are able to access that treatment. And I think as, we get more data, as there's more research, as there's more studies done, as more states expand, there might be a more openness to it. Personally, I fully support decriminalization. I don't think there should be one person in jail locked up for simple possession, and luckily, when you look at the stats, a lot of times there's not. And I think that we can... now there are add-ons. A lot of times you see possession is an add-on penalty, mm-hmm. but distribution is the one that's really, if you look at drug stats, is usually the one that people are in prison for. But, I don't believe that marijuana should be classified in the same category as, heroin or cocaine. I think, we should classify it in a way that we can do more research and development on it. And as we have more data, more statistics, but it's politically, it's a very tough issue when we're dealing with, this opioid crisis where, you have this ballooning number of people that are using and overdosing. And while I don't see the direct correlation in a lot of people's minds, there's a direct correlation between one drug and another drug. And while I think alcohol is probably the number one gateway drug in the world, a lot of people still live under the notion that marijuana is actually the gateway drug. So in our political climate, it's very tricky to even discuss things like this, which is why I think it's so important to have these things like the Millennial Caucus, where we can have a bipartisan, open debate with, out fear of what could come of that discussion.
Yeah, so Adam, I think that's a great analysis. I happen to be, just personally myself, and I've never smoked marijuana, but I believe in others' right to use it. And so that's how you can get that number that you were talking about earlier in your analysis is that, yeah, I think that younger people are like, hey, do what you want to do. You're free to do what you want to do. I personally don't make that choice myself, but I'm not going to judge you for making that choice. So that's a great. And then the other thing I'll say before Amanda jumps in here is that there have been study upon study upon study upon study, going back to when I was in college and after I was in college and when I was playing football, and there's been study about the effects of marijuana. So it's always great to study things more, but I think – I think it's out there. We understand what this drug does. And then as far as the opioid thing is concerned, 40% of those overdoses were from prescription drugs in mm-hmm. the last year. So anyway, we'll let Amanda jump in and voice her concerns on marijuana, the criminalization of, legalization of, however she wants to put it.
Sure. So as far as my personal stance, I am actually signed on to the bills that are in the Assembly right now to legalize marijuana. There's a couple different ones. There's one just to legalize it across the board, even for recreational purposes, one that's strictly for medical marijuana. I am signed on to both of those, so I do support legalizing it. And I think certainly just from this quick conversation we're having, it goes to show that this probably is one of those issues that generationally were easier to talk about, probably easier to come to a consensus on across the aisle. And I know even here in my community, the Chamber of Commerce here, which of course is not considered a liberal organization by any means, mm-hmm. Their young professionals did a whole forum on marijuana legalization because many of them do want it, and actually they want it in response to the opioid crisis, because we hear doctors saying, I'm forced to prescribe these opioids and I can't prescribe something that I know has less side effects, is less of an issue, and actually could help address this. But because of our current laws, I can't do that. So they actually want it also in response to that crisis.
I can tell you I've been doing a multi-decade study, and I can tell you I'm a better person than when I am not. And most of the stupid things I have done have been when I have been drunk and not necessarily when I have been stoned. But that's just me, and I'm not saying that should be for everybody else.
Who's the sponsor of this multi-decade study that you've been...
Unfortunately, myself, everybody. Unfortunately, it's been myself.
Paid for by...
hey, it's a self-funded study, and you know what? By the way, if anybody wants to contribute to that study, you're more than welcome to. I will never stop you. So we're talking about bipartisan solutions, and I want to finally get to talking about... again, we mentioned this earlier. One of the biggest things that people talk about is you guys want to work on where you can work on things together, and... absolutely into that. But the one thing that seems to be unifying everybody is they're sick of people fighting over things. And the we talked about marijuana. A lot of that is a perception, the perception that it's a gateway drug, the perception that it's an evil thing. Now there's perceptions about each party and who they are. And we've the Democrats and the Republicans have become caricatures of themselves, so to speak. And we haven't revealed each of your party's affiliations. Yeah, because honestly, it frankly doesn't matter, because as long as you guys are working together on things, that's really all we care about. That being said, I want to ask you both, what party are you in, and what does that party mean to you? You know what I mean?
More so than what it means to them, but also what they think the definition of that is today.
Yeah, because this is all about perceptions here. And we went to Adam first. This break. Let's go to Amanda first. What is your party, and what does that mean for you?
Sure. So I am a Democrat, and to me, how I would define being a Democrat, or why I decide to identify with the Democratic Party, is because to me it's really about people, and that it's about holding corporations or those with power accountable to make sure that they aren't using that power to hurt the people without power. So it's really about trying to balance that out and make sure at the end of the day everybody has a truly fair playing field to live their best life.
Now, quick add on to that. Are you against people having power, or are you just wanting to make sure they live in balance?
Not necessarily against people having power, but that there's a check on that power to the point that they can't use it to hurt others or to keep others from attaining power themselves, or fairly being, whether it's paid for their work or treated fairly in our institutions, just that they're not able to abuse that power to hurt others or to keep others down.
I like that. Adam, what you're obviously by default now, we know you're a Republican. What does being a Republican mean to you, Adam?
Sure. Well, I will say that I am a Republican. I'm not necessarily a libertarian in the fact that I do see a role for government. I do see a role for government to make people's lives better, to utilize our resources and invest in our priorities. However, I will say I have been a very big proponent of tax cuts, of looking at efficiencies, of looking at ways to make what we currently have more effective and more efficient without having to raise taxes, and even looking at ways we could reduce taxes but still have priorities in place where we fund schools, where we're making sure we put money towards Alzheimer's research, where we are able to do more for foster care. You know, so I'm not a libertarian in the sense that no government's the best government, but I do believe in a conservative, limited version of government where we rely on the private sector in the sense of classical liberalism to allow for, you know, the flow of trade and goods and resources, and to allow for people to take advantage of opportunities to live their best life, to have a choice of where they want to go to school, to a choice of how they want to raise their family, you know, and personal freedoms. And in a sense, the old-fashioned republicanism that started at when republicanism first began, which is a sense of personal responsibility and individual freedom, and everybody should be included in the equality that the country offers.
That's great. We're going to come back and talk about that more on the other side of the break. 414 Wisconsin, Newstalk 1510 AM WRD, Wisconsin's Resistance Radio.
Madison's Facebook page the other day, and they have almost 2,000 testimonials from local customers. Apparently, I am not the only one stoked on how cool this company is. A green technology that actually works better and doesn't cost more, it's a no-brainer. I'm in. We are starting our own Devil's Advocates revolution to free your carpets from harsh chemicals and soaps. Call Zero Res today and ask for the Dom and Crude Special, 608-848-9000, or schedule online at ZeroResMadison.com. Zero Res, spell it forward or backward, it's the right way to clean.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Do you own a rental property, or would you like to partner with a rental investment team? Call the pros you can trust at CCL Management. Rental expertise, second to none, a general contractor on staff to direct repairs and improvements, and real estate brokerage services tailored to the small investor. If you're ready to invest in rental property or just need professionals to manage your real estate portfolio, call us, CCL Management, at 608-833-0009 or visit us on the web at cclmanagement.com.
I got to tell you, so when I first moved to Green Bay to play football in 92, I had never been to Wisconsin. But the funniest thing I thought, you could not buy hamburger patties without a dollop of butter on them.
Folks, just so you know, if you take a little bit of herb butter and put it in the middle of a patty and just kind of mold it around there, you get magic.
I have one in my arteries right now.
How much did you say you weighed?
I'm gaining weight with my thoughts right now.
You're three bills and some change already, brother.
Guns Butter Economics, 414 Wisconsin, weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. on Wisconsin's Resistance Radio. And we got 10:50 now on this Thursday morning. It's going to be sunny and windy today. Gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Temperatures falling throughout the day. And then mostly clear skies tonight. Lows around zero. Sunny and cold tomorrow. Highs around 15. For Saturday, a 50% chance of snow, but warmer with highs around 30 degrees. It is 10 degrees on Brady Street with a wind chill of minus 11, 5 degrees in Waukesha with a wind chill of minus 23, and today would have been the 61st birthday of the late Dennis Brown.
Reggae is where dubstep came from, basically.
Reggae is where what came from?
Dubstep. You know, a little double time, double time. Reggae is basically a double beat.
Cool.
Just throwing it out there we're talking about bridging generational gaps, and all the music from yesterday is feeding the music of today, and that's what we're doing here with the co-chairs of the Wisconsin Future Caucus, State Reps Amanda Stuck and Adam Nealon, joining us on 414 Wisconsin, Wisconsin's Resistance Radio. Now, right before the break, we asked them what it meant to be a member of both of their parties, both Democrat and Republican, and I found both of your response is very similar in that you wanted to help people. Now, maybe in a basic philosophy, you may differ on certain issues, but overall, you both seem to believe that government is a tool to help people.
Amanda,
yeah, no doubt.
Go ahead, Amanda.
I would say I think government, it depends. You know, I actually read, this was my thesis for my master's program about government, is it good or bad? It depends. It really depends on how it's used, who's in power, who's elected, what they choose to do with that power. But I think certainly government can be a tool for good, and that's why it's on all of us to expect a lot from our elected officials, to be involved in the process, to pay attention and hold them accountable if they aren't doing what they should be doing.
Adam, please add.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, if you look throughout history, and obviously you see example of how government can be used for bad, you know. But in my own personal goal of why I entered government was to improve people's lives, to create more opportunities, you know, to be a voice for, you know, people that aren't necessarily, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of people out there that made robotics or science technology or self-driving cars or drones a priority to them. And I thought there was a huge void in people talking about these technologies and how we can look to improve government through data, through technology, you know. And I think that my own style is not to tear things down, but is to help build people up and to create a better state than when I originally came into office.
That's fantastic, and I think that we all here at the station can agree. Adam, I have to say the thing that encouraged me the most about what you said is that your understanding that everybody has different experiences, and those experiences drive how they see the world, and that you wouldn't want to be in a world where people have the same experience. I got to tell you, as a I'll be 52 in May. So as a 52-year-old black man that was born in the late 60s, came of age in the 80s, that was probably the hardest thing for me to deal with is that, you know, especially when I went off to college. So when I went off to college, I was around a bunch of black kids for the first time. I didn't really grow up that way, but when I went to college at Berkeley, I was. And to have people understand that my experience is different based on who my parents were, who my grandparents were, what they endured through the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, what I endured as a black man, and how things were different and how it colored my view of the world and my politics and what I believe in for the future, there are people who just go, well, you're wrong. And I'm like, well, yeah, I love that you can conclude my life based on your experiences. I really love that. And so just that ability to listen and understand that we're not all the same. We didn't all start at the same place. People have different experiences. And the fact that you have a certain last name or born in a certain neighborhood or a certain tone of your skin, you may or may not have advantages in some degree. Mm-hmm. And how do we make it best for everybody? So I think that's what I heard you said. I may be putting words in your mouth a bit, but I hope that's what I heard you say.
Spoken very eloquently. That is how I feel.
Now, we got about 3 minutes left here. I do want to ask you to a really quick question. And part of the reason why I think a lot of partisan politics happens is the amount of money in politics, because a lot of people end up becoming beholden to the people that donate a lot of money. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe both of you ran unopposed and then were reelected. I honestly think that's a good thing, because it means that you are only accountable to your constituents and not necessarily the influence of outside money. I want to start with Amanda. How does that frame how you do things going forward? We have about 2 minutes here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly money is an issue, but again, if people are involved in holding their elected leaders accountable, the money doesn't have to be an issue. I mean, I remember my predecessor telling me about how she received a check from the Koch brothers and wrote them a letter back saying, you know, thanks, we'll take the money, but it won't influence how I vote. So I think certainly money is an issue, but if we're holding our elected officials accountable, they can take all the money in the world, but they'll listen to the people if we're involved in demanding that from them.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Adam, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, so I did have an election my first go-around.
Okay,
I
thank you.
Ever since, and I would just reiterate that, you know, money is an issue in politics, no doubt. I mean, having to raise the amount of money I did when I was first running, it really took away from being able to do outreach and make those connections, because you're having to sit on the phone and ask for money. It's by far the worst thing that I have to do in politics, no doubt, is, you know, ask people for money. I literally hate doing every single call I've ever had to do, you know, because what do you give them? You know, I own a window cleaning company, and it's great. You know, you pay me, I'll clean your windows. It makes sense to me, you know. But I would say that in direct for candidates, it's not as much of an issue, because there's full transparency and you can look at how much people donated. The real problem I have with politics is all the dark money, all the money that flows around without people having to say who's paid for it. And then you have all these random political action committees that pop up every election cycle that have a new name each time. It's just to tear people down, you know. And I think there should be more transparency within those. Like, let's post who donated to who, so we can have a better informative discussion in terms of who's donating to who. And I think that would help a lot in terms of the negative out there in politics. It's all this dark money flowing around that attacks people and doesn't seek to build people up, only tear people down. And I think that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, we need that clarity to understand motives, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Guys, we are running out of time. I really want to thank you so much. Check out Wisconsin Future Caucus. I posted it on our 414 Facebook page if you want to check it out, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. You always have an open invitation here on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, guys. It's our anniversary party. Come back
We're
to
out.
Us at Brady and Astor at
5 o'clock
coin tonight.
5 o'clock down the road. We're out. Thank you, guys. We love you.